You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, the Education and Workforce Select Committee released its final report on an inquiry into social media's harm on young people. The report included 12 recommendations to the government on action to take which could protect tamariki online. These recommendations included a social media ban for under 16s, establishing an independent national regulator for online safety, and addressing legislative gaps to increase companies' liability for harm. Some MPs have disagreed with this report's finding, however, with the ACT Party calling for a patient, rather than fast-changing, approach to online restrictions. To discuss the findings of the report and how the government should address online protection, I spoke to Tohono Trust member Arjun Raman. For our listeners who might be unfamiliar with this new Education and Workforce Select Committee report, could you tell us a bit about what it's about and why it's significant?
Yeah, so the committee decided to do an investigation into online harm that's impacting young New Zealanders. So they reported in two stages. The first and interim report is focused on the types of online harm that young people are facing. And so they categorise the harms into four areas, which were content, such as illegal sexual abuse, dangerous self-harm, and so on. So it's content-based, conduct-based, so sharing of personal information, sexting, nudes, those kinds of things. Contact harm, which is like grooming, cyberbullying, doxing, unwanted contact. And commerce harm, which is scams, gambling, inappropriate advertising, and so on. And then they looked at all the potential effects, which were psychological, physical, developmental, social, and relational. And so there's a whole series of harms from low self-esteem, anxiety and depression, to social isolation, relationship breakdowns, emotional dysregulation, focus and attention issues, self-harm, and harm to others. So it goes into quite some detail about all of those harms and how they're playing out and how they're impacting. Now, the report that was just released last week goes into the solutions. So this is the final report, and they have a series of 12 recommendations. And I won't go through them all, but the ones that were of more interest to us were strengthening liability for platforms, because at the moment they don't have civil liability or any liability at all for the harms of the designs of their platforms and the way the platforms are run. So it's not liability for individual pieces of content, and we're not suggesting that, but it's liability for the systems and design. And the other one, which is around an independent national regulator. So we've seen other similar countries have such independent regulators. So the UK has Ofcom, Australia has the eSafety Commissioner, for example. And we think that's sorely needed here. It needs to be independent of government, because it needs to be safe from political interference, just like we do with the police or with our media companies. And the final one was that we're really keen on is algorithmic transparency, so that we make sure that we understand what the impact is of the algorithms being used by platforms of putting content in front of people, the type of content that is most put in front of people, and other ways that algorithms are used, recommend algorithms and so on. We need to know what they are and understand. So that's not talking about the code itself. We're not talking about getting into intellectual property. We're talking about understanding the impact of the way they choose to design their platforms.
You talked about quite a few of the solutions there. The one that's probably been in the headlines the most, and most people know about, is that ban on social media for under 16s. Could you go into a bit more detail why these other mechanisms, such as that independent regulator and the algorithmic transparency, are also just as important and necessary to put side by side with that?
So first, let me be clear that we do not support a ban for under 16s. And the reason that we don't support that is because it is putting responsibility on individuals, on parents and children, for the harm that's happening online, and we think the responsibility should be on the platforms. And also it means that it's taking away the agency of young people and limiting some positive interactions that they could have online, particularly for cases of where they're dealing with abuse or social isolation or other forms of real life issues. It gives them a social support system sometimes. Whether that needs to happen on social media or somewhere else is a question, but the fact is that the reason these harms are happening is because of platform design and the way platforms operate. And that's why we're saying, while it sounds like a good idea and it sounds like you're dealing with the problem, the fact is that there are a lot of vulnerable populations that are equally suffering for harm. So, for example, in the space of scams, it's our older people who are more likely to be harmed by scams, but we're not talking about banning older people from using online spaces. So you can understand that we want a holistic approach. It isn't only youth that suffer from all the types of harm that I talked about before. And we think that those recommendations that I talked about more will have better impact in addressing the harm than just simply banning by age.
Now, there are some figures who have expressed disagreement with the report's findings. ACT leader David Seymour suggested its recommendations were knee-jerk, and ACT MP Parmjeet Palmer said New Zealand should take its time to watch Australia's response rather than be a fast follower, as the report suggested. How would you respond to these comments, and what do you think New Zealand should be prioritising here?
So if they're talking about age restriction, then we'd agree with that, that they shouldn't go ahead with that. On these other recommendations, this has been a long time coming. So the previous government did a comprehensive consultation called Safer Online Systems and Media Platforms. We submitted to that consultation just as we have submitted to this one. And all of those views, all of those recommendations are sitting in government. That consultation had an initial summary report published, but the full report has not been published. The fact is that we are way behind the times. EU has had legislation for a while now, as has UK, as has Australia. Canada has just passed theirs. Ireland has regulation. Our people are suffering these harms. There are not sufficient protections. The legislation has not been updated to deal with the kinds of harm that are happening. And we know that technology moves fast. So sitting and waiting until the harm has happened is not an acceptable approach.
Is there anything you think this report may have overlooked, or that in general the government should be focusing more attention on to prevent online harm?
I think the report is pretty comprehensive. I think I would like to see a lot more focus on data protection. And I think people don't understand what data they're giving up and where it's going. So if I can, I'd like to give you an example from an article about someone who had verified their LinkedIn account, and the data that they had given up was their full name, their passport photo, a selfie that they'd taken. From that, biometric data around both of those images, NFC chip data, nationality, sex, birth date, age, email, phone number, postal address, IP address, device type, OS version, location. But on top of that, hesitation detection, so whether I paused during the process, copy and paste detection. So they're taking behavioural biometrics just to get a blue tick on LinkedIn. Then they do a full internet check. Government databases, ID registries, credit agencies, utility companies, and so on. Where that information is going and their terms and services say Anthropic, OpenAI, Groq Cloud, AWS, Google Cloud Platform, Resistance AI, Fingerprint.js, and another, a total of 17 companies, 16 of which are in the United States, and many of these companies are providing information to the US administration, and certainly if law enforcement requires it, all of that information is going to the administration there. And so, and LinkedIn isn't even the one that's doing the verification. It's a different company called Persona. So people think they're doing a LinkedIn verification. They're giving all this data to another company that has a whole different set of terms and conditions. The EU has a Data Protection Act. We don't have any data protection regulation about what is collected about us and where it's going and the transparency around that. So I think, you know, alongside all the other harms, the data protection and data sovereignty issues are really critical.
That was Tahano Trust member and Jim Raman speaking to me about the Education and Workforce Select Committee's report on harm young New Zealanders face online.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.